It's Monday, October 30th. I'm Travell Anderson.
And I'm Josie Duffy Rice, and this is What a Day. On today's show, Hollywood is mourning the loss of an iconic sitcom star, plus former Vice President Mike Pence has dropped out of the 2024 presidential race.
But first, the latest on the war in Gaza. In a Saturday night address to his country, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that a second stage of the war against Hamas has begun, this one including the sending of ground forces into Gaza and expanding other attacks from the ground, air, and sea. Now, it's important to note that this is not the all-out escalation that we've been anticipating for a couple weeks now, or at least that's not what they're calling it. Netanyahu said, quote, "There are moments in which a nation faces two possibilities, to do or die. We now face that test, and I have no doubt how it will end. We will be the victors." Reports say this is a hint at their strategy pivoting to a plan of staged escalation as opposed to a singular massive offensive, which, according to the Washington Post, is perhaps a reflection of the Biden administration's influence. Nonetheless, the Israeli strikes from this stage of the conflict knocked out most of the communications in Gaza over the weekend, meaning the territory of some 2.3 million people was in a literal near total comms blackout. No internet, no cell phone service, no way to get information about or share what they were living through, no way to contact loved ones, literally nothing. That was until they started restoring communications, with connectivity being just between 50 and 80% of the pre-blackout levels by Sunday afternoon.
I think it's so hard for anyone here to imagine, like, what it must be like to be going through something like this and having your entire area not be able to communicate. What has this latest escalation meant for humanitarian efforts? Like, how is it impacting them? Mm-hmm. What is it doing?
As can be expected, it has only exacerbated what was already a dire situation. Aid workers have been saying for weeks that more resources are needed to meet the demand and scale of trauma that folks are going through. And while more trucks carrying support are continually being allowed into the area, another 36 trucks entered on Sunday carrying water, food, and medicine, it simply isn't enough. And despite urging from the U.S., from the United Nations, and various other groups, Israel is still only letting a small trickle of resources in this one border crossing from Egypt. Well over a million people have been displaced from their homes in Gaza. The number of Palestinians killed has passed 8,000. The number of killings on the Israeli side is over 1,400 people. Both of those numbers are unprecedented. And the conditions on the ground are so dire that thousands have been forced to raid aid warehouses. The UN Relief Agency for Palestinians, or UNWRA, said that their second largest depot, which holds most of the humanitarian aid delivered by the UN, was targeted over the weekend. People took flour, they took wheat, they took hygiene kits. One resident simply told the BBC, quote, "Our houses were destroyed. No one cares about us. We needed aid, and we wouldn't have done this if we weren't in need." And as a spokesperson for the World Food Program said, quote, "The bottom line is that people are desperate. They are hungry."
Things are still pretty bad and still getting worse, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And this weekend, we saw kind of the international response to that, right? Because we saw protests across the world from people calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. And cities such as London, Istanbul, New York, Baghdad, Toronto, Paris, and Rome, I mean, really all over the world, people were coming together to call for an end to this escalation that's happening in Gaza right now.
Yeah, a lot of the videos and social media posts over the weekend really illustrate how widespread this issue and the calls for a ceasefire have become. But let's start with the U.S. What did we see here in America?
Yeah, a remarkable number of people took to the streets and cities across the country. L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, San Francisco, and other cities. I think it's worth noting, like, these are people who believe in a wide variety of potential futures for the region, but everybody believes that reducing the escalation is of utmost importance right now to save lives, right? So here's audio of protesters in LA chanting. So if you can't tell what they're saying, they're yelling "ceasefire now." In New York, hundreds of protesters were arrested at Grand Central Station after a demonstration calling for a ceasefire led by the Jewish community crowded the station. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it, but it's pretty remarkable. It's packed full of protesters, many of them Jewish Americans who are also calling for a ceasefire. Tensions are high right now, but it seems like for the most part, these protests stayed very peaceful. Though they weren't always convenient, in San Francisco, protests briefly shut down Highway 101 after 15,000 protesters took to the streets in that city. And in New York, protesters shut down part of the Brooklyn Bridge for a brief period. As is the nature with protesting, sometimes it is not convenient, but it did seem to stay pretty peaceful.
Yeah. What about outside of the U.S.? How's the international community responding?
Yeah, everywhere from Asia to Africa to Europe has seen protests. In London, an estimated 100,000 people took to the streets, which is really just a remarkable number of people. We saw protests in Cape Town, Toronto, Paris, all over the world, really. And this is particularly notable given that there's been a lot of backlash against people who express any support of Palestine or Palestinian people or call for a ceasefire. And I'm not talking about, like, supporting Hamas, right? I'm talking about just, like, any kind of criticism of the Israeli government or the escalation that's happening right now. You may remember that in the past few weeks, people have lost jobs. They've been doxxed. And in France, pro-Palestinian rallies were even briefly banned. But even there, people took to the streets in Paris to call for a ceasefire. So the pushback has increased.
Right. And what about the response from the leaders of these people, the elected officials? What are they saying?
They're a little less vocal about a ceasefire. In fact, they aren't mostly supporting a ceasefire at all. Currently, the only European leader calling for one is the Spanish prime minister. Meanwhile, on Friday, the UN passed a non-binding resolution calling for a humanitarian, quote-unquote, truce. Though, of course, it is non-binding. It's not like a real UN resolution. And whatever truce means here is kind of in specific and general. It's also worth noting that, unsurprisingly, the U.S. did not vote for that non-binding resolution. And in fact, the U.S. has explicitly rejected calls for a ceasefire. But I would say that the protests do seem to be doing something. Like, we've seen President Biden temper his language a bit and at least say that Israel should attempt to minimize civilian casualties. And so it does seem to be doing something.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of largely like younger, democratic, progressive folks noting how Biden's response to all of this will likely affect their, you know, voting decisions that they will be making in a year, in 2024. And so I wonder how kind of that sentiment that seems to be so ever-present on my timelines, at least, you know, might be impacting that tempering that you say President Biden is now doing around his language.
It seems pretty clear to me that this is going to be an issue for the election and going to take some real navigating on the part of Biden and other American politicians and other politicians across the world. Obviously, we will keep reporting on this conflict and the push to end it, but that is the latest for now. We will be back after some ads.
What a Day is brought to you by Kariuma. Here on WOD, Kariuma is our go-to sneakers because they're really comfortable, they go with everything, and they're made with consciously sourced materials. We have told y'all time and time again about these Kariuma sneakers. You need to go ahead and get you one so you can be part of the cool people, okay?
Yeah, seriously, we have a collection, I feel, a growing collection, and you should too. They're very versatile. They come in a lot of different colors. You never know what you're going to need, so you might as well have a full arsenal at your disposal. Last year, we collaborated with Kariuma to create No Steps Back sneakers, and now they have designed a second limited edition collaboration with us, the Love It or Leave It sneaker. These shoes have a colorful design with lots of little Easter eggs. I mean, not Taylor Swift-level Easter eggs, just fun stuff like Pundit on a surfboard. Love Pundit. She's an angel. Plus, a portion of the proceeds from every pair sold is donated to VSA's Every Last Vote Fund. You know, it's not a what a day pair of sneakers, but I will take it. If anyone's going to get a pair of sneakers aside from us, love it. Sure, we'll take it.
If you want a pair for yourself or the Love It fan in your life, make sure to snag one right now. They make the perfect gift for the holiday season with free returns. Just head to crooked.com/store.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
The manhunt for the suspected gunman behind last week's mass shootings in Maine ended Friday evening. Police say they found the suspect's body near a recycling plant not far from the city of Lewiston, where 18 people were killed and 13 others were hurt in a pair of shootings last Wednesday. There are now questions about how law enforcement agencies responded to what appears to have been many red flags about the suspect. According to the Associated Press, U.S. Army officials alerted police in Maine that the suspect, who was an Army reservist, made veiled threats against his base and other soldiers as recently as September. Investigators have also acknowledged that the suspect had a history of mental illness, which also highlights the weaknesses of the state's so-called yellow flag gun control law. It allows the law enforcement agencies to take away someone's access to firearms if they are a danger to themselves or others, but it requires police to arrest a person first, then have a mental health provider evaluate them before they can ask a judge to issue that order. It's not clear if that process was ever initiated for the suspect in the Lewiston shootings.
Tributes are pouring in following the sudden death of actor Matthew Perry, who was found dead Saturday at his Los Angeles home. He was 54 years old. Perry got his start in show business as a child actor, but his big break came in 1994 when he landed the role of Chandler Bing in Friends. But in his memoir published last year, Perry admitted that his rise to stardom came at a huge cost. He candidly recounted his long struggle with addiction and the serious health issues it brought, including a five-month stay in the hospital in 2018. Here's what he told ABC's Diane Sawyer shortly after his memoir came out.
Your disease is just outside, just doing one-arm push-ups, just waiting for you, waiting to get you alone. Because alone, you lose to the disease. And now I finally feel okay and feel like I've got some strength.
It's devastating. According to the LA County Medical Examiner's Office, an autopsy into Perry's cause of death is currently pending. Though it could take several weeks to complete, law enforcement officials have told multiple news outlets that no foul play is suspected.
The United Auto Workers Union said Saturday it has come to a tentative agreement with Stellantis, the company that makes Dodge, Ram, and Chrysler vehicles. Union leaders have called this deal a major victory for workers because it will restart work at an Illinois plant that was closed in February, restoring about 1,200 jobs. It also gives UAW members at the company a 25% pay boost over the next 4.5 years, along with cost of living adjustments similar to the tentative deal that the UAW reached with Ford last week. This means that nearly 15,000 striking UAW workers at Stellantis will be back on the job soon. Union leadership will give the green light for members to vote on whether to ratify the deal later this week. All of this means that General Motors is now the last holdout, but it's unclear when the biggest of the big three automakers will reach an agreement with the union. The UAW expanded its strike against the company over the weekend, with nearly 4,000 union workers walking off the job at another GM plant in Tennessee.
And finally, the clown car of Republican presidential candidates just got a little roomier. Former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence has ended his 2024 presidential campaign. Here is Pence making the announcement on Saturday at the annual Republican Jewish Coalition Summit in Las Vegas.
Traveling across the country over the past 6 months, I came here to say it's become clear to me this is not my time.
Yeah, apparently people gasped when he said that, which they seem to not be watching the same news I'm watching, but, you know, Pence is the highest profile candidate to drop out of the Republican race, which is still being dominated by his former boss, Donald Trump. And he failed to gain traction since he announced his bid back in June. According to new filings, his campaign wrapped up the month of September with a little over $1 million left to work with, and he was polling in the single digits, which meant that he was struggling to qualify for the third GOP presidential debate next week in Miami. Meanwhile, Trump said that Pence should now endorse his reelection bid.
Mm-mm.
Now, that is truly hilarious. That is what he told supporters during a campaign rally he held on Saturday, which coincidentally was also in Vegas. Kind of bold for someone who egged on chance of hang Mike Pence during the January 6th insurrection to ask for the endorsement of Mike Pence. But hey, you know, I guess the worst Mike Pence could say is no.
Or perhaps the worst he could say is actually yes. And then we have a whole nother pile of foolishness to deal with.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's actually probably what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe Mike Pence doesn't just go with the GOP crowd on this one.
That's what they all do, right?
That's what they all do.
They sign their life over in blood and they do whatever they have to do against their own best interests or the best interests of the American people time and time again.
Absolutely.
So here we are.
Here we are. And those are the headlines. One more thing before we go. Spooky season is here and the Crooked Store has a new tea that's perfect for horror fans. And at this point, if you like following Supreme Court news, you are also included in that group. It's inspired by the iconic Jaws movie poster, except our version says, we're gonna need a bigger court. I love it. Ugh, perfect. Nerd / horror humor. I'm not saying anybody listening is a nerd. I'm just saying I'm a nerd. Check it out at crooked.com/store.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends to listen.
What a Day is also a nightly newsletter, so check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Josie Duffy Rice.
And I'm Travell Anderson.
What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Our show's producer is Itzy Quintanilla. Raven Yamamoto and Natalie Bettendorf are our associate producers, and our senior producer is Lita Martinez. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
If you guys like Positive America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.